This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman says key votes in the Senate this week delivered a resounding message that the proposed Waters of the U.S. rule is flawed in substance and process. The Hill reports the Senate voted by a vote of 99-0 to include an amendment from Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan to establish a deficit-neutral reserve fund on keeping the Federal Water Pollution Control Act focused on protection of water quality and outlines what's under federal jurisdiction to create clear, unambiguous exemptions for EPA. By a vote of 59-40, senators also passed an amendment from Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming to rein in the EPA. Both amendments would be attached to the budget resolution. Stallman says senators indicated they will not tolerate outlandish regulatory actions that disregard established law and by their action put federal regulators on notice that the rule, as it currently stands, is simply unacceptable. Ethanol production continues despite the fact that the renewable fuel standard has not been solved for almost a year and a half. But John Coppert, director of NSERC at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, says that does not tell the whole story about the state of the industry.
Investment in research, development, and especially deployment of new technologies, for all practical purposes, has come to a complete standstill since November of 2013. You have this policy unrest created by the EPA. Policy unrest leads to market uncertainty. And where there's market uncertainty, the private sector and the venture capitalist folks are not so willing to invest in these yet unproven technologies. We here at this Biofuels Research Center are gravely concerned from that side of the argument.
Coppert says some of the larger biofuels companies with an international footprint are already talking about the idea of projects and employment going overseas if the U.S. ethanol industry remains unstable. He adds that the amount of co-products that are coming from biofuels production indicate that the RFS is working as it was intended and should not be adjusted.
We have an enhanced and an improved distiller's grains. But in addition to that, at many plants we have corn oil. Sometimes that corn oil is being converted into biodiesel, a fourth project. And now we have a corn ethanol plant online here in the state of Illinois in which they're actually extracting a protein, a high-valued protein called zane. So look at what we've done in just half a decade. The biorefining concept, often discussed, today is a reality. We've got to keep that momentum moving forward.
Coppert says while new co-products continue to be developed, there needs to be an increase in ethanol usage. He says not only does E15 need to become part of the marketplace, it needs to do so in large volumes.
The production capacity is certainly there to meet that demand or potential demand. More importantly than that, the unbelievable yields of corn that we're producing now. Just this past year, 2014, largest corn crop in the history of this nation. The state of Illinois, we surpassed 200 bushels per acre, average yields in the state of Illinois. Absolutely unheard of. There's no challenges whatsoever with meeting that market demand. We can do it. And we've proven through production that we can do it.
Coppert says for the nation to continue growing as an energy provider, it needs continued commitments to research and development, and eventually the consumer will have to change the choices they make at the pump.
They must say no to this market manipulation that's going on and say yes to things like biofuels, saying yes to higher blends of ethanol. This will once and for all bring market stability, job creation, energy independence, and enhance our national security. We just have to be committed to it.
NSERC was established through the 2002 Farm Bill as the National Corn to Ethanol Research Center. It has since changed its name to NSERC to allow for a wider variety of ethanol research initiatives. Hamilton's hay auction will be taking place this Saturday. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for a preview of the auction.
Well, Angela, it looks like we're going to have another pretty large consignment. We've already got some really nice alfalfa small squares in and a few loads of round bales and some 3x3s. So I'm looking probably 1,500 to 2,000 small squares and probably 150 to 200 round bales. And it's hard to say on the 3x3s, but there's a should have an ample supply.
Now, the hay auctions are going to stop pretty soon here in April. And do you think that the last few auctions you're going to have are all going to be large ones?
It looks like it, unless the weather would really dry out and the guys that go to the field, but it's not looking that way right now. So I would think we should have good supplies all the way up to the 11th.
All right. Mike, if anyone has any questions, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me anytime on my cell phone at 618-410-4293.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton with Hamilton's Hay Auction. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. The Illinois Farm Bureau took a group of farmers to Louisiana for their annual ag industry tour. The group spent 3 days in the Baton Rouge area and 3 days in the New Orleans area, observing various agriculture practices. Montgomery County Farm Bureau young leader Heath Houck was one of the farmers on the tour.
The whole idea of the trip was to basically see the ag industry in Louisiana, see what the agriculture field is all about down there. And we did a variety of things with long days, many tours, and got to see many things that were a lot different than we're used to.
Houck said one thing that stood out that was different about Louisiana agriculture is the variety. The tour traveled to crawfish, tobacco, and sugarcane farms, as well as a cotton gin. He said it was a stark contrast to Illinois agriculture.
We're so focused on corn and soybeans up here, we really don't focus on other things. We don't have a lot of diversity. I mean, we've got hay, we've got some wheat in the area here, and I know once you get into southern Illinois, there is some rice grown and things like that, but you know, just to see how many directions those guys can go down there, and their rotation is completely different, you know, and even just talking to them about corn production was something that was really interesting, because we were talking to a farmer, and he was actually part of the cotton gin, and we were there to tour the cotton gin, and he goes, well, I don't even care if you tour the cotton gin. I want to hear about how you guys raise corn, and we talked about that, and then he kind of told us about how they raised, and, you know, their insurance date down there is March 31st, and he said if it gets to be April 1st, they won't plant corn past that March 31st deadline because of the heat, the summer heat that comes. He said, you know, there's too many risks that are involved there.
The Illinois Ag Industry Tour didn't just travel to Louisiana farms, they also stopped by Louisiana State University to observe what they called their food incubator.
They call it the food incubator, and basically what they're doing at the Department of Ag at LSU is to take people that have an idea about a food item, whether it be salsa or a jelly or a jam or something small, a salad dressing or something like that, and they actually take the idea and then they help that person to try to create a business model for that person to follow, and they help them get out, they help them advertise, they help kind of get on their feet, and then if the business takes off, you know, they eventually let them go, and they go out on their own, and then they bring somebody else in, and, you know, it's still in kind of an infancy stage, so they're still working out the kinks, but it was really interesting. And the amount of involvement they had in it was unreal. They have a waiting list of, I think they said, 130 to 150 people to get into this, and they can only take care of like 5 people at a time. So it was just really interesting.
Houck had a hard time picking out a single most interesting thing that stood out to him on the tour.
It was really interesting to see all of it, and I took something away from basically every farm that we went to as each farmer told their story about their operation.
Being this blown away by Louisiana agriculture, do we have to worry about the Illinois farmer picking up and moving states? Well,
I don't know if I'd go that far. It was definitely interesting to see. And like I said, I mean, the diversification, there's a lot more things. I'm not saying that the farming in Illinois is easy by any means, but down there you've got, they all have to worry about the hurricanes. There's a lot more weather events that take place. I would, however, like to be down there to be able to sell soybeans down there because of the basis levels they were talking about. A local farmer was telling us that he sold some soybeans. The most he ever had sold soybeans over on basis was $5 over the board. And to me, that was just, that was a little eye-opening. But, you know, they also sacrifice. There's weather. They have a lot more issues with pests and funguses and things along those lines. So there's definitely pros and cons, but I'm going to stay back and be that mid-Illinois farm guy I've always been, so I think that's where I'll stick to.
Houck did stress that if other farmers get an opportunity to go on an ag industry tour or other similar travel tour, he believes they should jump at the opportunity.
Oh, I would definitely recommend it. And I guess I'll kind of put my young leader hat on a little bit here. I was recently elected the chairman of our county young leader group. And, you know, there's so many of these opportunities. You know, Neil and I, we went on this trip where we were sponsored by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau to go. And the trip was free of charge to us. And we got to spend 6 days in Louisiana learning about the agriculture down there, meeting people. And, you know, there's so many different opportunities that we have through the Farm Bureau Young Leaders that I would recommend that any person between the ages of 18 and 35 get involved with our young leader group, and they can be awarded these same opportunities that we are. And, you know, I would definitely recommend this trip. This was the first trip. This is the first ag industry tour that I've been on. I've known several guys that have gone on other ones, and we all come back with the same message, and that is, I mean, if you ever get the opportunity to go on one of these, you need to jump at it. And, you know, I'm glad, and I want to thank the Farm Bureau for letting Neil and I go on the trip, and really appreciate the opportunity.
Again, that was Montgomery County Young Leader Heath Houck speaking about the Ag Industry Tour to Louisiana that took place the beginning of March. And this just in, the USDA will be pushing back the deadline to elect either the Agricultural Risk Coverage, or ARC, or the Price Loss Coverage, or PLC, Farm Safety Net programs to April 7th. Again, farmers now have until April 7th to elect either ARC or PLC Farm Safety Net options for their farm operations. For more information, you can contact your local FSA office. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.